Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome to Think Big. Our guest today is Dean. Dean, tell us where you are in the world and what you do for a living.
All right. Well, I'm located in far northern Minnesota, and we're actually in the middle of a snowstorm right now, so it's perfect hot cocoa weather.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we actually did too. I'm here in New York, and up in Albany, where a lot of my friends and colleagues live, they got hammered. I think got six to eight inches. We're in that that fake spring, you know, fool spring right now.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Tell us what you do for a living and about your business.
All right. Well, I was actually a meteorologist for almost 27 years and pivoted to selling hot cocoa for a living. So it's been quite a pivot. I just fell in love with doing this and just decided to go for it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So how did you get this idea? I mean, how does one go from a meteorologist to selling hot cocoa? I mean, there had to be something at some point, you know, piqued your interest in that. Maybe so tell us a little bit about that story, how you got started in this space.
Absolutely. Well, this is about 12 years ago now, believe it or not, that I started doing this as a hobby on the side, because my kids are Mike and Jen, the namesake of the company. And my daughter was such a hot cocoa fanatic. At 9 years old, she would go outside and play in the snow every single day. She would come in, throw all of her wet, you know, clothes off, and she would ask for hot cocoa. So I was going through just an exorbitant amount of hot cocoa powder, and I started to read the ingredients. I had this huge canister at the time from Sam's Club. I was reading the ingredients, and I was like, this is crazy, like partially hydrogenated soybean oil in a powder. I'm like, how do you do that? You know? Mm-hmm. So that kind of set off, you know, I said, Jen, we got to make our own. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, we got to make the best in the world. She's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. Then I found out I was OCD and I was going to spend the next year of my life doing this. So that's basically how it started. It was, you know, simple origin, just trying to make something better for my own family. I got carried away with it. And then I would give it away to friends and family.
That's awesome. So I was just curious. I mean, clearly you seem like a pretty conscious parent about, you know, food ingredients and things. I have a few very young, like 1 to 2 year old nieces and nephews, and, you know, my brothers and sisters are very, you know, conscious about that stuff as well. So, you know, with all the things that you know, were looking into as far as ingredients go and things like that, with things that your kids were putting into their bodies, what kind of made you stick on the hot cocoa idea? Just curious. I mean, the backstory I love. I mean, the backstory is great. I mean, I totally see that. But I'm just curious, like, as far as, like, you know, other things that you noticed that had like the hydrogenated side, soybean oils and the high fructose corn syrup and things like that. What made you kind of stick on the hot cocoa idea? Just curious.
It was actually, and this is our motto, our tagline is the taste that takes you back. Because at that moment, I remembered how my grandmother, she had this huge container that she would make her own mix. And I remember just tasting incredible. And it was so real. And so, you know, it just brought me back to childhood. And I'm like, well, it was fairly simple, you know, for her to make. And we always had it on hand when we were over there. And so I knew it was simple, but I also wanted to do two things to make it better. I never liked the ones where you just had to add water, because I thought they were always runny and not creamy at all. So that was kind of what I was, you know, OCD for a year, trying to figure out how I can make it to where you just have to add water, but it's actually rich and creamy. So that was the first problem I was trying to solve. The other was, you know, just made with five simple ingredients. And so after a year of tinkering and trying every recipe and every combination, trying about 80 cocoa powders, every one of them that I could find, then we had something that we were happy with.
That's awesome. So as far as the you know, kind of operative side of the business goes, now, how are you primarily selling this product right now? Is it mostly e-commerce, direct to consumer? Do you have any deals with any retailers? What's kind of the state of your, like, selling motions and things you have going on that front right now?
Sure. So we originally got into independent markets and stores, and that was our, you know, first foray into you know, pivoting from being a meteorologist to actually selling in a store. So I had a local store owner here who had a gourmet food store, and she kind of helped me through the process of getting it onto the shelves. So initially we expanded from, you know, just a handful of you know, gourmet and small shop food retailers and just various other retailers to over 300 of those independent retailers across mostly Minnesota, Wisconsin, and upper Midwest area. So that was kind of, you know, we built this backbone of the independent retailers before we did anything in terms of, chain stores. Our first foray into chain stores was a 30-unit higher-end grocery store chain in Minneapolis area. And then we added a 10-unit high-end grocery chain in the Minneapolis area as well. From there, we expanded into Hy-Vee stores, which have close to 300 grocery stores across the Midwest.
You said Hy-Vee, sorry, but people might not know what that is. Can you just explain that quickly?
Absolutely. It's headquartered in Des Moines, Iowa, and it's a higher end grocery chain. The stores are massive. They're 100 some thousand square feet. They're just destination grocery stores. Yeah. And so they're a very, you know, big part of Midwest grocery. From there, we expanded to Meijer stores, which is getting closer to your area.
Yeah.
In the Michigan area. So there's about 260 of those stores.
Oh, wow. That's
and
awesome.
Yeah. And then we just last year started a target test where we were tested in select markets across the country. And so it looked to be expanding with Target. And we're also in the Costco in the upper Midwest area.
That's amazing. I actually lived in Dayton, Ohio for a few years. So I do have some familiarity out in the Midwest. I've never heard of that one store you mentioned, but I was a big Meijer guy when I was out in
Meijer,
Ohio.
Yeah.
It was like a miniature Walmart, you know, because you had
right,
like the whole
right.
Home Goods side. You do everything like all at once without having to go to like Target or something, you know.
Yeah, they're fantastic stores and they're just growing like crazy.
That's awesome. So yeah, and then so it seems like the primarily, you know, your model is basically based off of, you know, retailing at this point. Do you do any e-commerce? I see you have the website, so you know, what are you doing on that side of things? Can you give me like a breakdown of, you know, how much you're doing through like your retail deals versus or 2023, or how much should you do e-com direct to consumer?
Yeah, e-com is still only about 20% of what we do, just based on, you know, we tried so hard to compete with, you know, shipping of individual, you know, somebody buys a $10 bag, but we ran into, you know, people wanted free shipping and we kind of gave up and just do Amazon for our individual fulfillment.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, we do sell quite a bit through Amazon, but in terms of our website, we just went to a bulk model where, you know, people who want to just buy a case, that's great. So, you know, they buy a case on our website, it goes to our fulfillment center, they handle the shipping of it, and it's all hands off. And also all of our wholesale accounts, independent stores and such, they'll purchase off of our wholesale Shopify account.
Gotcha.
And so it seems to work well for us. We're just a two-person company, so we don't have to do it all, and we haven't had much pushback to kind of pushing people to either target.com or amazon.com for individual.
Right. No, that's awesome. So tell me just a little bit of the difference of like somebody buys like something in bulk, like a package or something, versus, you know, they wanted to buy like a $10 bag. How much comes in something like that? And also I wanted to ask as well about the Amazon store, because a couple of the folks I've interviewed recently mentioned that they didn't set this up themselves, but Amazon had kind of set up on its own like a subscription, like automatic reordering process for people. Is that something that, you know, that your Amazon store has done, or is that something like, you know, the kind of like subscription thing is obviously very popular right now across all industries. So is that something you've considered in the direct to consumer side or through your Amazon store? Or do you know if that's something that they're already like running for you? Cause it seems to be like they'll just do it without even asking.
Yeah, they just start that, the subscribe and save thing. And so far we haven't really seen much in terms of subscribers to that. yet, but we're a hyper seasonal product, so that might play into it
That's
where, you know,
fair, yeah, right.
they don't want a bag in July or August. And so I don't know if that plays into it, but it's interesting. We've tried to move the needle in terms of, you know, outside our cocoa season is, I mean, October, November, December, and then it trails off quickly as you get
Right.
into January, February. We've tried to move the needle in the summertime. We have recipes, and we do a lot of promotion for our frozen cocoa, which is, you know, a summer drink where you can still use
Yeah,
the
it sounds good.
powder.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're so good. It's just basically it's ice, water, and the mix in the blender, and it tastes like a chocolate shake. It's
Yeah, that
fabulous.
sounds awesome. I don't see a
Yeah,
lot.
and
I've
then
never actually seen anything like that. So that could be, I think a really good niche for you. I don't think that's I haven't seen much of that out there. So
We actually used to have what we called our Cocomobile, and it was a 50-year-old
that's awesome.
it was a 50-year-old food truck that we
That's
Went
amazing.
to events in the summer, and we would have lines. You know, it was before COVID that we did that, but
Right.
it was a lot of fun.
You think about bringing it back, the cocoa truck?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It was kind of like COVID was kind of a pivot point to where we were doing it a lot for PR and publicity at major, you know, events up here in the summer. What we found during COVID was that so much of our focus had shifted to wholesale, and so because it was just two of us, you know, we just really focus on, you know, growing our wholesale.
Yeah, no, that makes sense because it seems like it's been quite successful. So obviously, you're just going to take that and run with it, right? So, on that side of things, obviously, you're going to continue to develop the wholesale side of things, look for more deals, look for better deals with the, you know, companies you're already working with. But on the direct to consumer side, you know, do you have any ideas to grow that side, or do you think you're really just focusing on the wholesale more than anything right now?
Yeah, our wholesale right now, especially Costco, we continue to grow outside of Minnesota with Costco into the upper Midwest. And that takes a lot of, you know, resources. And, you know, because we have to, you know, before we get ready for the season, we have to have our co-packer, we have to purchase all the ingredients, you know, for, you know, 5 to 10 truckloads of cocoa that we have to prepay for. And then we get paid back, you know, once all that comes in. So a lot of the resources, you know, are tied up with that. In terms of the individual fulfillment, our goal is to try to increase our profit margin with Amazon. It's not great, but, you know, we have a lot of sales. And so, you know, just trying to increase the profit margins there. If we could figure out a way to more beneficially do individual fulfillment from our website, we would, you know, look into that. But that's also another thing, like, you know, our fulfillment center handles all of our orders from our website. And then, you know, each one of those orders has to be, you know, babysat through the process. And, you know, so yeah, it's kind of like, it's a smaller part of, you know, what we do. So it's kind of, you know, fallen by the wayside a bit.
Yeah, but short to medium term, I mean, this is what it sounds like. And I think if I was you, I'd probably be in the same frame of mind is short to medium term, you're still just thinking like mostly in the retail space, right? Gearing up for next season and everything. Right. Yeah. And then, so I'm curious, like, I didn't even, for some reason, I didn't even think like, you know, your sales would be like so seasonal or something like this, but obviously it would be. So, but with the retail stores, I mean, do they keep it on the shelves year round, or is it something they make like a bunch of bulk orders and like, you know, maybe like late September, early October time, and just kind of stock like throughout those months and then just sell residual whatever the rest of the year? Or, you know, what's your kind of like model with them like in that regard?
So Costco is seasonal. We're a seasonal product, which actually helps quite a bit because we don't have to maintain, you know, the numbers during a time when we know the numbers, you know, units per week are not going to be up to par. So that's actually really nice. And because we are so seasonal, it's kind of a good and bad thing, but we've come to kind of love it. We can essentially
That makes
make
sense,
what we
yeah.
need for the season, what we're planning, what we're, you know, if we take on any other retailers, we can forecast during, you know, the late winter and spring, go to production in the summertime. We're ready for everything by September 1st, and we hit the ground running. And it happens really fast, and it happens a little bit earlier each year. Each of the retailers start ramping up. You know, now it's in August. that, you know, it used to be, you know, or by early October, we started to roll things out, but now it's getting into August. So it's kind of a little bit earlier every year. And then we just kind of blitz it. You know, it's all people up here hear about for like 3 months is Mike and Jen Sacco.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know, I think that's a really interesting piece of advice for like maybe, you know, younger or newer business owners is just, you know, they in the big picture, you're always going to think like, you know, how can we do more? Like if we can get more business, we can figure out the logistics later. But, you know, and to your point, it's like, you know, you're doing seasonal with all these stores, like that may actually be better in a sense, because at least when you know it's coming and you have a definitive time, like, you know, how to ramp up, you kind of have the conversations beforehand where, you know, if you can have that fulfillment be like really, really refined and good, and you know, it's going to be perfect, you can nurture the relationships you have with those retailers to get that recurring business. That's a really interesting, you know, point to think, because I think a lot of people from the outside looking in selling something might think, well, I sell something seasonal. Like, why would I do that? So like I could do something I can sell year round. But in reality though, like you're saying, you know, doing something seasonal allows you to kind of have some preparation time to make sure that your fulfillment to people that you do business with is perfect and very refined over time. So that's a really interesting point.
With two of us, we really welcome this kind of breather, and it's a reset every single year. And we've now got it to where, you know, we can forecast. My business partner, Amanda, she's the spreadsheet person. She loves everything about her spreadsheets. And
you
I'm not that,
like that
numbers person.
Yeah.
So she's refined her forecasting, and it's just absolutely fantastic. So, you know, we have, you know, very little left at the end of the season. We have enough to carry us into, you know, whatever summer orders we have. And then we hit the ground again. And so it's really kind of nice. You know, we're kind of like candy canes. I mean, you know, they have a season, you know, they plan for that season. Yeah. You know, you don't hear about them in July.
Right. No, that's amazing. So, all right. So just curious, like, you know, if we were to speak again a year from now, 2025, you know, where do you see the business as far as your retail deals go, as far as your e-commerce goes? You know, what kind of growth are you expecting in the next 365 days?
Sure. So right now we're doing about 30% more each year.
That's great.
So we'll do 130,000 pounds this year. So growth expectation would be another 30% of that. And just in terms of, we would like to continue to grow with Costco. We're on year four with them, which is, they've been the best partner ever. I mean, it's mind blowing.
I've heard that from others. Actually. Yeah.
Unbelievable. They're just, that's the gold standard. And we'd also like to continue to grow with Target because they're our home state, you know, retailer, and they continue to grow, and we did really well on our test. So we're just finding out where we'll be able to grow with them. So I think, you know, we're trying to carve out essentially a Midwest, you know, growth, especially at this point. You know, the Southern US, you know, hot cocoa sales are, you know, much, much smaller, which is kind of interesting because in Mexico, it's a year round drink. But in the US, you know, you think it's a Santa Claus thing. You know,
interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. The cocoa sales throughout the year in Mexico are, you know, fairly stable throughout the year.
Wow. Is that a market you considered, you know, trying to get into at some point in the future? Because of
we have a licensed reseller in Mexico, where they actually manufacture it in Mexico to our recipe.
Oh, wow.
And so that's just very cool. Getting off the ground down there. Yeah.
Cool. So, you know, if somebody's watching this, they want to get in touch with you, you know, see things about you, just, you know, tell us what the website is, you know, any way we can, you know, keep in touch with the company, see updates and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is just named after my kids, mikeandjens.com. And I'm just Dean at mikeandjens.com if anybody wants to reach out.
Awesome. Hey, I really appreciate you hopping on with us today, Dean. It's very insightful.
Thank
I wish
you
the best of luck, great. Of course. I'll make sure to be in touch. And yeah, thanks again. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
You too.